could be sort of in the interface drawing.
But if you separate it from RNA, you have more flexibility.
Do we want to have three different interfaces? Don't we just have like a technical one and then the one you can use?
The interface can dynamically change while you work, or you say hotkey X and all that. Character generation stuff, and now I want to see the serial stuff. I mean, who cares?
I'm not really against it.
I think that's nice,
like that more work and.
Well, someone would have to do it, either.
Yeah.
Whatever solution you choose.
I mean, I've never looked at Mel, and I don't know how Mel works, but in my fantasy, the positive thing how Mel could work is that it's exactly that thought.
In his fantasy, he has naked ladies and someone coding in Mel.
In my fantasy, Mel is not that bad, right?
Right.
Yeah? People hate it, seems to be complicated, but I think it's pretty high level.
Why don't you just have your fantasies about Python in Blender?
Yeah.
So yeah.
My fantasy Python and Blender works like my fantasy of which I have of Mel.
That seems
which
pretty
beautiful! And it works, and you can do anything with it if you want. Huh?
It also forces us to cleanly separate the properties from the tools. Like, you can't do a C hack, you have to expose it nicely to Python, and then Python you can create user interface.
That's right. That's true. That's good.
True, but I like the idea of groups too,
prevents you
because
from using
then
UI diff
people that add, then people that add
features.
Not features, but I was going to say custom properties can just say add that custom properties visible into the bone display group. And then when you have the list of bone, it's always there for each bone. And you don't have to act the interface; it's automatically there. But just when you define your property, you just say, "Oh, it's there."
You also have doubts with this whole.
That's one of the main reasons why I like groups. I mean, the groups could be defined in Python. I mean, dealer's choice.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about it. And, it's a good design session. If you sit down and think a little bit, okay, so what is this fantasy I have about? You also have a certain fantasy of how it could work.
Yeah,
I fantasize that
really
maybe
good.
One day Blender might work.
Huh?
I fantasize that maybe one day Blender might work.
Maybe that's a bit too much of a fantasy.
I know, it's only in dreams.
Unachievable.
Let's stop talking about content.
But maybe it's not going to be a scripting language.
Let's talk
about
that.
We can start before it goes somewhere weird.
Scripting language is pretty good. With the data format, you end up having to run a whole lot of extra passing stuff, and Python's there, you can put the functions in, it's quite easy. And then the other thing that I'm I'm not very interested in user interfaces in general, so I would like it if someone else designed the API, but it doesn't look like anyone wants to, so I might have to. But the cool thing about how I plan to do it is that you have all the low-level stuff, all the UI auto but functions registers written, and then Python just wraps those like in 5 lines or 10 lines, and over that we'll make a nice Python API.
Yeah.
So that means we can really, really quickly, if we decide we don't like it or change, but people get interested and want to make it better, we can very quickly rewrite the user interface API in Python.
Yeah.
Big advantage, because rewrite doing that in C, you end up with loads of C Python API. Hardly anyone knows how to modify that. Anyway,
it's still complex. You have to look at how to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you end up with 500 scripts, and then you have to do script browsers for interface design, well, it's also complicated. So you have to find a way how to make it nice. Work.
Don't know what you mean by script browsers Python API.
You mean we end up with like 5,000. PyS files for the UI.
For example, if we make every pop-up menu in Python.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be separate Python scripts. It doesn't have to be separate scripts.
Are we talking
scripts.
Pop-up menus, or are we just talking buttons, windows?
But you have to store the pop-up menu somewhere, and you have to define how they are generated. That's typical Python stuff.
Yeah, but you don't have to have a separate script for that. It can be like a function. Yeah. anywhere.
Yeah, of course, it's gonna be one script on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, that's
still what? If you do it in Python or in C, it's pretty much the same line of code, so.
You make it sound. Okay.
I make it sound fabulous, you
should
hear that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
Beautiful.
I think that's pretty much it. The only other thing is Python version. Martin and I.
What?
Martin and I tentatively agreed to use Python 3.0.
No, I don't think that's what Tweet is.
No.
I don't think that's what Tweet is.
Just tentatively agree.
No, I think we said
just
we
you into
wait
a false sense of
before in the end, and if the Python people say it's stable enough, then it's stable.
The Python people.
What Python people?
Campbell, when talking to Python API, the people developing the Python language, and they said that the C API isn't really stable enough for Python 3K.
They said that before.
And another thing,
that's why I'm saying we should wait.
I stand by what I already said. On OS X, we have a nice no install button, and I want. You can do it with, which means that you can put Blender on a USB.
Yeah, yeah.
We,
that's different. That's separate. We want to do that on all OSs.
Yes, but if we switch to Python 3.0.
Not necessarily. We can just embed Python into Blender.
Yes, we are forced to embed 50 megabytes.
No, no.
It's like two.
Last time I checked, it was like this.
Yeah, but no, it's not that. We don't have to have all the libraries.
Two or three megabytes.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, it was not 50, it was 30 megabytes.
Yeah, but that's with all the libraries and debugging and testing and stuff we don't need.
I know, but there is a lot of advantages, like what you said. You want to have a little sticky. And
but then if you do that, it's only good for your own version of OS X. If you set it to another one that has Python 2.4 or 2.3, then it doesn't work.
You have a 2.3 Python. On your
but then,
grid,
yeah, we can do it for
works on any Mac.
But then we can do that for 3.0 also. I mean, there's no. Mm. I mean, how big is your RAM drive? I mean, if it's 50 megs more, I mean, is it going to kill it? Or if you have 2 gigs in there, nobody cares. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be 50 megs. It's just, yeah.
I mean, you can compile Python yourself on a Mac and just compile that if you think
If it's 1 or 2 megabytes,
yeah,
it's not
probably not going to be 1
but
or 2.
Last time
I mean,
checked.
Probably 5 or 10. Okay. Whatever.
Last time I checked, we compiled Python.
I mean,
actually,
we don't fit on a
Mac,
floppy anyway.
It's in the framework format. And in the framework format, you
like
cannot go
like you can put
below
Blender and DVD anyway. The Mac Air doesn't even have one.
That's
like
the problem.
You can put Blender and DVD anyway. The MacBook Air doesn't even have one.
The Python source code is like 8 meg. The Python source code is about 8 meg. The person who made the framework would have added extra libraries.
Well,
no.
There's lots of generated code for testing and for all the other thing that you said we could remove. We decided we could remove.
It is really 15 megabytes.
Yeah, I don't think it's 50. I think
but
you do like
problem,
testing and yeah, it's not
really
50. It's not 50.
It's really something. I want to keep the non-install system because it's really nice.
We all agree on this.
Yeah.
It's really really nice. Alors, perhaps. If it's an additional download to put alongside Blender, it's not a problem. But we need to find the correct solution. And for now, I don't have it.
Well, it's much better compromise to have Blender executable
3 megs bigger
than the user having to go download the right Python version
and
worry about it working.
And
developers can still build dynamic and not. Because I mean, I have like 10 versions of Blender on my PC, and I want all of them to be 10 megs bigger. That big, but still, if I have debug and release all of them,
it also becomes a problem with Python 2.3, 2.4, up to 2.6. If you make a script, it's quite easy to forget some little function isn't available in Python 2.3 anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, we can also say that Blender 2.5 is Python 2.5, and then
people who have Macs will have Python 2.3.
No, because we'll ship it Blender. We ship Python Blender anyway.
Let's solve
the problem. We already decided that that's what we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Regardless of what version of Python we choose. So, I mean, I'm just saying on the 3.3, on the Python 3K decision, that wait.
Yeah, we can leave it for a while.
What?
We can leave it for a while. We don't have to decide now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's compulsive focus.
But job reference would still.
It compiles both until you forget about it.
Because it's, I mean, it compiles with it now. The Python C API changes a little bit, but the auto-generated code isn't a huge amount of C API code. It's pretty easy to maintain, even if the API does change. So I don't think it's a big problem.
I mean, and you're the only one who breaks it, so you're the only person to fix it.
Yeah.
What do other developers think? What is your
sounds good?
I think we should start talking about Python.
Yeah, Python 3K. Mm.
I think Python 3K would be a good decision to make as soon as possible, even though the API, according to the Python developers, is still in flux. Because I think it's for descriptors important to make the switch.
But we're not
of course, it's for us more work to.
But we're not at the point right now that we're writing script. I think when we get to that point, we'll have to decide at this point, but not later, but not earlier either. Maybe when we get to the writing UI in Python at this point.
Yeah.
That's going to be in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
next week.
A few weeks is good enough.
Python is going to be stable.
Well, never know. I don't know what the release schedule is.
I got to do a community-wide discussion to relieve the pains and make people.
Yeah, and then at the end, Tom takes a decision.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest pain will be if everyone writes new scripts in Python 2.5, Redis 2.5, and then in 3 months, switch to Python 3, and they have to rewrite them again.
Oh, yeah.
That's not true.
I mean, there's very, very little changes
used to
at the Python level between 2.0 and 2.5. Very little changes.
So,
nothing kind of script that people.
Versions are 3.0 versions, except for you.
What?
You want to postpone the decision as much as
possible. Yeah, but basically, I don't think that people would have trouble converting script between 2.5 and 2.0.
The problem is people don't have trouble, but it's just a little glitchy things. Like people will write a script and give it to their friend, and then they upgrade their Python, and some stupid thing breaks.
But
like
we can also include
stupid stuff.
We can include the conversion script with Blender, and
then people have to remember to run the conversion script.
But think about people who aren't actually Python coders who download a script off the web.
Just give them something and it works for like the next 2 years or something.
No, it doesn't, because Blender API will change.
Okay.
But I think we also conclude already making a full compatible or even a partially compatible 2.5 Blender.
There's already a parser to come to.
Partial, though?
There's already one to compile, to convert between 2.5 and 3.0.
That's Python.
Not
Blender API.
Blender API.
Yeah, but Blender API won't change between 2.5 and 3.0. The Python API is the same.
Which Python API? The
2.5? The Blender API.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but I think Tom's understanding differently.
Okay, what are you saying?
I say it in Dutch.
Okay, when you change the Python
2.48 Blender Python
versus
the new one.
Yeah, it's still
completely different.
Yeah.
So we already agreed on that we have to give up on compatibility.
Yeah, we said that already, and people will try and they will
so
come to Campbell's house with picks and torches.
So then moving immediately to 3 might be the most painless. Provided the software is stable.
Yeah, provided the software is stable. Just
they've had a release since it's like 3.01 now, and it's fixed stuff.
Yeah, but it's not even released since 6 months, and everyone has troubles, and libraries have been merged.
The only thing we need Python to do is to awesome Python.
It's not like we're using highly object-oriented, complicated.
The
other thing to think about too is that even if we decide right now to use Python 3, and Python 3 isn't stable, we've still got a few months until Blender 2.5 is actually released anyway for them to fix it. So.
The other thing is we're cutting ourselves off from some libraries. I mean, like most of the Python libraries haven't been merged. Has ImageMagick been merged, ported to?
Pill,
Pill,
I don't know.
You have an opinion?
On Python 2.0.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's 2.0, I think.
I don't think. Do you really care? Yeah, you
I
do
think we should just break it once.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's. I'm a brush show.
It's gonna happen.
Give you the money later.
Campbell, okay.
Campbell likes breaking stuff. Yeah. GMS said keep the same API, so Jay, new API then.
Alright, at some point it would be good if someone else looked at the Python API instead. Like, just someone else reviewed my code. It's not a lot to review.
We can have some group session.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow, and just you can put your code on the projector and just look at it.
You can criticize it personally.
Well, you know, I will.
Okay, well, I'm done. Any other questions?
Leave you pie.
Why should we should then be fair and review every code?
Yeah, it's not 2.48 that he wants to review. 2.5, Tom.
Yeah.
2.5.
I thought you meant review what we have.
Yeah, what we have in 2.5.
What, mean, what we have in 2.5.
Yeah, because at some point we're going to go and use it, and
then
looking back and say, oh, that's wrong, we should not have done it that way.
Yeah,
what we have in 2.5.
Yeah.
I don't think
we can
rewrite
stuff.
I thought you wanted to go
on. That's crap.
Yeah.
Why don't we make a new version and call it 2.5?
Stupid bone API.
Okay.
Great.
Next.
Next.
Yeah, I said that already. You don't steal my answer.
Including what you said.
We can turn up
A, B, C, and all the above.
Key maps and different key layouts and stuff like that. We already did that.
Yeah. Well, you can talk about Windows 7 or so.
Then 2.5 compiles and works both on 32-bit and 64-bit.
Whoa.
64-bit is still incomplete because, for instance, FFmpeg is not compilable.
Is Genscher still working on that, or did he just disappear?
I did that.
What?
He compiled most of the libraries, but
okay.
For Blender 2.5, I made the
Yeah. I thought, but is he still working on trying to make FFmpeg work on 64-bit? Is what I'm
I
asking.
Have no idea.
Because I know at one point he was trying to do
I
that.
I think if I look at code, it will be a huge pain to get it.
Yeah, it is.
Through me.
Just go troll in the FFmpeg channel. Just say, oh, if I was using another library, it would work in 64-bit. What's your crap doing? And then they'll fix
they'd
it.
They'd reply like, QuickTime doesn't work. And then you go,
To be honest, the way FFmpeg is integrated into Sponge is just horrible.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
No, horrible is not the word.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Craptacular.
Well, abysmal.
It's craptacular.
Well, it works if you know how poke it when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is quite not nice. So in that sense, I wouldn't cry if it was removed.
Yeah, talking about scans, have you think about fixing the scans-c to do the real cleaning thing? I know we talked about that on IRC at one point.
We did.
Or maybe not, but someone was complaining, someone was having problems because scan-c wasn't the same thing as scan clean.
Yes,
and then
but I don't think I will ever work
but,
with that because scan clean is supposed to be different.
Yeah, like now it's a target, right?
That too, but the way it's implemented is just supposed to delete everything.
Okay.
Below the build directory.
Yeah.
So
is there
not to build the entire dependency tree, what do we get? And then delete every single item.
Yeah.
Just
so there's no real way to fix it, is what you're saying.
To get it fast, no.
All right.
Andrea?
Well, I think
we had a couple of topics.
Yeah, I think we already agreed that we are going to have a file browser asset management session, a smaller one, maybe.
Drag and drop.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my god.
That was what everybody said to me. That they wanted drag and drop for appending and linking.
Really?
There was a lot of requests.
What is drag and drop? What is it for? What kind of technology is it?
What?
Is it, like event or something? Like a
you just drag an RNA pointer. You just drag an RNA pointer.
Mm.
You just have an RNA button.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, drag an RNA pointer.
You
can do that.
You can do that. You can do
that.
What?
Importing. Scene, object, whatever.
You know, it'd be nice for import scripts if they could be integrated
in. When you drag on an RNA,
I'll talk about another day, but if import script could define the filter.
Then copy and paste.
Written a post about exactly how this should be done.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Filters
yeah.
For import scripts. So it can mark, it can.
Object on
so
that
it can it register, let's say you have a file
like
browser, then you can add
okay.
A like drop down of supported files, and when you select
yeah,
one, it highlights the file that it supports.
You can pick something
yeah.
up.
Yeah, and it gives you the options for the importer in the file browser
yes.
itself.
Exactly.
Instead of popping up a
yeah.
stupid second
yeah.
window.
Yeah,
you
could do
another,
that too.
It's true, but another thing like that has to be
and
added.
Another,
to, you know
another
what I mean?
Idea was
yeah.
to have a space type.
Yeah, not a 2.5 target necessarily.
I mean, we have to, you do know, we have to rewrite all the import script for 2.5 anyway.
And show everything that was in the blank files in those directories. So like you have a lib folder,
yeah.
and it would
Campbell.
Show every blank file there.
Did we decide who was going
make
to rewrite the Clada import for 2.5?
Yeah.
And the
no,
planning.
True.
So
we drop
Clada
support?
The
most of the import
system.
Scripts use are a bit more auto generated already.
Almost file browser, but it's also
but yeah, it will have to be changed.
Yeah,
in the
that's what I wanted
yeah,
to
exactly.
discuss.
Yeah.
Maybe what,
yeah.
what idea we should have or how we could do it.
Andrea mentioned asset management in general.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, we would be using SVN for asset management also.
Yeah.
But if you could get better integration with...
You like revision
yeah.
number in Blender?
Mm-hmm.
Not
SVN,
yeah. not SVN integration
yeah.
in Blender.
What?
You're not talking about SVN integration in Blender, right?
No.
Yes, and
then
when you open a file, you
no.
can revert to all revisions
yeah.
that you've done file.
No, but William like mentioned to me that it was very tedious if you had to import or link several objects into a scene and you had to reopen the file browser, append link, go back.
Yeah, but that's not really to do with SVN or something.
No, no,
like
that's not SVN,
that's
but that's asset manager.
Asset manager,
yeah.
yeah. And I mean,
and Blender MySQL.
It's very
clunky
to
I
use
mentioned
those
that
things,
in
get an overview of them, and you
but was
see.
Not mentioned yet was the whole data browsing thing.
Yeah.
Like, what if you have 5,000 objects and you want to pick one? So
yeah.
What if
yeah.
you have over
10,000 materials?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now opens this image, browse, blah blah. How are we going to tackle this? Is that still file browser? File browser in data mode?
Yeah, with
yeah.
the
optionally on off. Are we
yeah.
going to stick to that?
Yeah. To be honest, that's something that I would like to get rid of.
Yeah.
Because it would make the code much cleaner if you don't have those different modes.
Yeah, even if you just separate it.
Yeah, somehow separate.
The thing is, the file browser is meant to, you know, it's a one-off thing. You go to load a file, you hit open, and you finished using the file browser. Whereas sort of web managing assets is a thing that you might be doing while you're working. So
yeah.
It's not something that's really take
maybe using the kind of thing
while.
That Campbell did act together for Apricot, putting libraries into the outliner.
Perhaps we should have
but better
code. Like the outline
yeah.
for external files.
I mean, no offense, but it was active.
The outline was made external files.
Yes.
And
I was
to
there.
Yeah. Allowed to browse and to select things to import in the current file.
Yeah, and then you drag in you know, whatever you need in this file from
the either like drag and drop or simply you select and a button and post.
Yeah,
that's enough.
You can also make by default control the pop-ups. But if the pop-up has more than 20 items, you can have arrows plus a search box at the top, so you can
that would be really cool too.
So if you type, if you click on the message, and there's 5,000 messages, even
yeah.
when you have a whole list of them, you don't know anything anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
You have to quickly type Suzanne,
yeah.
and you see all the
autocomplete.
What you
probably
really
that's
want
is quicker than having this big window.
Is
right?
it if you have the outline and you have all your meshes, and preferably if you have previews built in, so you have a list of all your meshes, and you can go and find the one you want. And if you want to insert that into a text field, you can either copy it, paste it there, or you can drag it into the text
drag
field,
and
right. you assign that instead of having to open the list and you get the whole thing. You have to pick
so
it.
So we can make Andrea happy and not have the
yeah.
dreaded data browser.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's
I don't know,
data
maybe
browser.
For big previews and stuff for materials. Not
but at this moment,
I think that
but
that
can go in the tool setting.
For images, you want that?
As we have an area reserved for tool settings,
tool
feedback to the user,
right?
The preview can go there.
Yeah.
But
well,
you
that's
can't
why
you
I
usually. Well, you can only do that now if you hold control.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the image browser for the disk.
Yeah.
But you might want to have the same view of all your images you have in memory.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You select
yeah.
one, and a small menu with previews is probably
you have them on control F4.
Right now, it just goes to the text base. Right now it just goes to the text-based data browser, which is pretty awful.
Yeah. But you can with control
yeah.
F4.
Can you?
I mean, you see the OR.
The internal Blender images, image data
box. But you could define and decide to have the file browser allowing to do the same thing as image browsing on the disk on the internal database. For objects,
yeah.
meshes, materials, textures, images.
It's incredibly useful to have, be able to have a list of those and see previews for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredibly useful.
And it also enter somebody else's, another Blend file, and do the same thing. So you can browse internally, but
mm-hmm.
you get nice images if you have image
yeah,
view.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you want image appending in a nice way,
yes.
data, you need that kind of visualization in the file browser. So
not sure if it's in, if it should be in the file browser or in some asset management, but that's what we can discuss
yeah.
in this
yeah.
session.
Yeah.
I mean, I have done it for materials, and at the moment these
yeah.
previews are stored. And
I've seen it for materials.
Going inside the blank file, you
it's
have
nice.
The same
it is nice.
Selecting.
And I think the only thing we might lose is that you click on a blank file and you're immediately in it.
Yeah.
It might be two steps, choose the file that you link from, and then you see it, and from there you go on. But
still there's a switch.
Yeah.
Automatic or something.
Yeah. We'll see.
Okay, and the icons, we have two icons on the list or
yeah.
Icons,
yeah.
couple of icon sets or something. Big icons, small icons, crispy icons, colorful icons.
Personally I don't think it's a huge issue right now.
Mm.
Personally I don't think it's a huge issue right now. Right now we don't have a need for huge icons except for maybe the file browser, which can
mm.
be something else entirely.
No, but in 2 weeks we might have.
Well, what about just making a bigger version of the icons file?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's possible.
Yeah.
But we are here to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So
we need to choose
side and
I guess I'm just saying I don't consider it a very pressing issue compared to these other things.
Oh, size.
Oh, I like size.
Do you
want
to talk about it? We can talk about it. Yeah, we can talk about it.
The question is whether we want bigger icon file size, icon
size. SVG icon.
No.
And it will keep the user community busy, then we can design like discuss it. Wow, more important. Oh wait, side view, all the cameras on.
No, but the microphone is. The microphone is.
Yeah, I don't.
We asked back.
But they already know our new films.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they didn't know about your fantasies about Mel, though.
Yeah. No, but I have lots of those fantasies.
That's alright.
You don't want me to tell the other ones?
No.
Like how beautiful Optimize works, for example. I never used it. 10 years ago.
The topic you can bring up with icons is also like where to use icons and where not.
Mm.
Where any icons might be nice.
Mm.
Like, you know, does every tool have its own, has a little icon into it or not?
The problem of icons is that it must be very descriptive to be useful. Because
somebody has to make them.
Icons are slower access for the user than text.
So the icon fairy together.
The icon fairy.
Icons.
I have just from Lime, we are your neighbors. By some of you, I just saw your slide. I'm curious to know what you're talking about.
Are you
so something about user interface, file browser, linking?
Yeah, boring stuff.
We are defining the future of Blender here.
Yeah.
We're forcing everybody to follow what we decide.
You're right.
That's so cool. Brecht, you have something to add? A couple of things?
Now's your time to disagree with all of us.
Well, the fact that operators need to be more flexible for using Python, maybe even for nodes if we want to do that in the future. I think we've discussed that a bit already, and I think it should just be one of the topics we discuss. I think we have to separate the context from the actual inputs, so we can give the operator specify. I work on an object, or as a list of objects, and material, or whatever. and then we have a separate function which takes the context and fills in those. It's basically what I think needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has, and to have those things and persistence, you have to move the selection through
persistence.
Yes. I mean, that's just one of the design topics I think we need to do. We already discussed this as well, the fact that we need more RNA properties need to be editable. This is just, I think we just need to do this. Also, we want to do automatic user interface layout, so it's basically a necessity anyway,
yeah.
I think. So
like ID pointers, especially.
Yeah, just if we want to have it all editable, automatic user interface, we just need to expand. It's not really a design issue, I guess. It's just something that needs to be done.
You can make those non-animatable, it makes people feel better.
Yeah.
Well, no, I want to animate the
mesh
object
link.
ID block that's
no,
being
could,
used
could, like,
by
an image halfway through, which
yeah.
animation, like stop motion.
Yeah, you can do that already.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, no.
Further, well, there's also user preferences versus operator properties versus editor settings.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's not really clear always what to use when and how. If there's
but if user preferences is also RNA, then it's RNA mapping RNA.
No, but the
yeah,
thing is, can I, like for example, in Transform, you've got the proportional editing settings, proportional tool, all right? But you can change that, in you get set it in the operator. Because then Python doesn't have to change the setting in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So you've got the RNA property and the operator option. And what happens is when the operator starts, you have to check if the property has been defined, and then if not, use the RNA. And if it is, then use the operator value. So I mean, it's boilerplate code that you have to repeat all the time for all of those settings. Is that what you were going to say? Or?
Yeah, and it's also, for example, in the UV editor, it's really hard to separate it because you have like what is actually the selection? Like this is really dependent on what this, which image is displayed because you have like
yeah.
a local view thing. And actually, if you separate the context from the data it works on, it already partially solves that. Although you actually have to specify which UVs you're working on, so maybe we won't do that immediately. I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway,
for example, his example.
Yeah, you could duplicate them always. All the properties that you use, all the user preferences, you could duplicate them as properties in the operator, but
you could add a operator initialize, you already have that, the definition,
yep.
to set the default. But the default is hard-coded.
Yep.
So why don't you make it a default setting with an RNA property? And then you can set a default using an RNA variable which is coming from the user preset.
Yeah, or anywhere.
Or from the context.
Context, which context?
Well,
the
editor.
Context.
It's the setting in the space you're working in.
Yeah, but you have to find yeah. But then you have user presets per context. That's what you mean.
Yeah, more or less. It's from context anyway because the active scene is from context. So.
Can we do a short break? Everybody's back.
Short break.
Toilet.
Working.
Smoking. Working.
Smoking. You're the only one that smokes, Tom.
Hmm?
You're the only one that smokes. Oh yeah, and Jean-Luc. That's
yes.
true. That's true. She can go smoke Gauloise with Jean-Luc.
I started a little bit again.
Yeah.
And that's coding.
Coding and smoking, really.
No, it makes ashes in your keyboard.
What is
it's 2.5, making you all like nervous and sweaty and
human. Yeah, it's making him so nervous he dreams about Mel.
How's concentrating?
Yeah.
But when I'm producing and doing jewelry and stuff, and so it's easier not to do that. Or when there's people like me, it's easier. But don't be alone.
Oh,
it's like chocolate. It's
Maybe Bragg should come more often to stop you from smoking.
Ah.
Or
We have a short break.
Or you could ask Benoit to come over. You could ask Benoit to come over.
Yeah, no, he's not,
I mean, he's not that far away either.
The university.
Andy is uploading pictures from the advanced Pentacles and Winter Camp. Andy is uploading images or pictures.
Ah.
So he just told me on his website.
Is there a way to do a Boolean array in RNA?
Pictures from the
photos
from
Boolean array.
How do I do that? There's no def Boolean array.
Okay. These are not actually.
There's no that, but there's a def. There's a what's that? The other thing. There's a def property Boolean array default, but not a def property Boolean array.
I guess I forgot that one.
Okay, is that really hard to do? Because I could do it.
Go.
Trivial.
Okay, so I'll do it.
Right. Just copy whatever the other function is.
All right.
What are you gonna use it for?
Basically, it's a checkbox for x, y, and z.
So you have to make a Boolean vector. That's kind of weird.
Well, it's not weirder than having one property for each of them. I'd like to have them like in a big row with x, y, and z in front. You know, it'd be nice.
If you make it a vector, it'll get automatically named x, y, and z.
Ah, great! We can all go on IRC and chat through IRC.
You weren't doing that already.
Are we all join our team and continue?
Yeah, we were doing that already, Tom.
Yeah,
okay, I'll do that then.
We only have like 15 minutes left. Then.
Really? When's the plenary? At 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
At 5.
I forget my.
You can skip it. Be polite. Sit in the back, you know, and then you can sleep.
Yeah, it could be fine. I mean, never know.
Or we can also make a statement.
You know, stand in the front with black things over our eyes, you know, like prisoners.
Hey, we can be activists too.
Yeah.
We can talk about bullshit business and stuff. And naval staring.
Yeah. Naval gazing.
Naval gazing? Is it naval gazing?
Yeah, or contemplating.
Naval staring.
Talking
about naval staring.
Yes.
Is it?
As the Dutch.
No, it's English. I looked it up because I wanted to use that word in this camp.
It's naval gazing.
Yeah.
Naval gazing is better?
It's
more negative.
Well, basically the same thing.
Yeah. Naval gazing. It's very easy, I mean, the whole network cultures, investigations seem to me too complicated and they make too many issues, right?
Hey.
It's not that complicated.
I should have been.
Did you see yourself?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That looks so bad.
It's raining.
I think you can end 8 o'clock or so, we can meet for dinner for the patio.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spend everything. Or we can do people want to have showers or breaks or whatever.
Yeah.
No?
Mm-hmm.
But the plenary is also is from 5 to 6:30 maximum. What? So we can after dinner we can meet down to the bar and start drinking all the community money until 8, and then have food, and drink some more, come back, and then we drink some more,
yes.
And then go to bed.
And then we
and then drink some more.
How about that?
Then we go to the red light district.
And drink some more.
All the people have to work or do something. So we can make an agenda for tomorrow.
Yeah. Is that it?
For example, what wasn't mentioned yet also in ideas for managing our regions with collapsing or taps or how is that kind of system?
That's
some design.
What do you mean by
that's
region?
Part of the what I
meant
earlier, the UE padding we want to, UE rules we want to list.
To list?
List the rules, the UE rules
you want to use, and then evaluate things like this.
Maybe one thing in the list of Porsche was about the naming, usernames of objects. Did you already talk about it? No.
64 character objects. Is that it? No?
Yeah. About the from the list from Joshua. Ali got it.
Yes. He thinks names are too short.
Oh, yes.
Is that something we should talk about or not? The list of Joshua.
Oh yeah, Joshua's list. That's one I have.
Just that one. User defined names.
Yeah.
Of course we make it 64. I have no problem with that. It's, it's all our DNA is 2.5-ish.
Yeah, some things aren't really IDs though, like bone names.
Yeah. It's ID, not ID. I don't think it doesn't have to be ID.
It's
DNA.
Yeah.
So they extend nicely.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing that will not read in old files, if you make long names,
the whole
animation system is not going to read anyway.
It won't read it, or it's going to truncate it?
It's not truncated.
Correctly? But correctly, or just... No. Okay.
I don't know, but we can make it. No, we cannot. We cannot change the past.
2.49 can make it correct.
No, it will not truncate it, but you can at some moment the zero.
Yeah. Or not.
Like
32 characters and the zero is not there.
So we should also, but we don't have to do this in the winter camp, but make a long list of all those things which will drop compatibility, upward, forward compatibility, not backwards. Better do them all at once than getting frustrated again. Like names for ID, properties, phone names, make sure that everything is nice defined so that you know and can even communicate it in the interface very well. With 64 for bones, period, right? That's good enough, or not.
Yeah.
And if you want it 128, you can do that one day. Right? The other one is path names, file paths. But if we look really nice and smile at Andrea, she will keep working on it, right? But it's nasty stuff. Exist file. If you look at that code,
mm-hmm.
I needed it for an operator.
Yeah. There you go.
Crashes sometimes, and I can't understand exactly. It's like, it would be nice for the file system, for saving files and releasing files, if there's more feedback on if the file is read or well protected. Whether it's a directory or a link,
mm-hmm.
have bad accidents at the moment. But I think it saves just everything. If it's allowed, it saves it.
Yeah.
But you might want to have indicators that you are saving over a link, dynamic link.
Mm-hmm.
Or some code in Blender allows you to save over a directory.
Mm.
And then deletes the directory or something.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that if the code exists, in the Blender library, to find out if the file exists, also returns true
mm-hmm.
if it's a directory.
Yep.
So, that's dangerous, right? You should have if path exists or file exists,
mm-hmm.
but
yep.
I've had it once,
an
accident that it was saved over my desktop.
Yep.
That's a file name.
Oh.
And I only want to have that one.
Oh, so now you know what it's like to lose data because of Blender.
Mm.
Yet you still don't like to have a save on quick button. Because it's okay to lose some kind of data.
Wouldn't have saved
his desktop
anyway.
Other type of data.
That's minimal compared to saving over your desktop. Okay, the backup luckily worked mostly.
Oh. Yeah, but it's probably worth it to review that and have a nicer API for accessing the files and directories. So.
Did it make a desktop.blend1? Did it make a desktop.blend1?
Yeah, I'm still. How can you save over your desktop? I mean, the blend is going to be called something desktop.blend anyway.
I think think the bug was that you had to use FileSaver to delete a file, and when you save the file, started with a space, the space file name, which of course stupid. Why would you have to do that? And you did remove, and it would remove the desktop without warning.
Yeah, right.
Cannot delete. But somehow, I mean, if you in Unix try to remove a directory which is not empty, it refuses.
Mm-hmm.
But for somehow this call accepted it to remove the whole desktop. And I was too stupid to try it. Instead of on the temp or something. It's like, nah, it's guaranteed. File name, delete. Shit!
I'm an idiot. Well, you learned something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something also that we might discuss for the Windows installation, because the way the preferences and the .blend file and so on are stored,
it's still a bit
is
icky.
Not really nice for Windows.
Yeah, nice.
Because there is one way to store it along the Blender executable, and that's basically not allowed anymore, because a normal user installing is not allowed to put files in the Windows program files directory.
Is this like a new Vista thing or something?
Yeah, it's Vista and XP in a certain setting and stuff.
Install and installation.
Yeah.
You could do the same as Sony Pro. Install in application data.
There is the way to store in application data, but the question is really files like
fucker.
The
when you scroll
in the
outliner,
be
it adds
in the user
operator.
Directories, which would be
but I'm trying
users.
To do this begin operator.
It's never ending. You can just keep scrolling and keep watching it go, and you'll never catch up.
I
to
mean,
the
like own files.
It's like the RNA.
Like
speak for
it's all right there.
Joshua. He mentions.
So we can discuss it.
Headers versus toolbars. That's a very nice topic. Tomorrow, I would like to get feedback from people, ideas for layouts. What kind of layouts am I going to do? What kind of functionality belong together? I'm going to make standards for that, or like everything now has like a list view. I did an experiment with entry, and you saw that?
Yeah, on the
so
side.
Property list, who runs that? And if so, I mean, you can implement it everywhere. It's nice to have, instead of you need to add all those floating panels that you have them in a list. Of course, it can be the new RNA list viewer.
Yeah.
But is that the purpose? And then where does it stop? Because you can add and add. That's the navigation thing again. Mm-hmm. Where do you keep those things? At some moment it stops.
Yeah.
Or you assign them functions. So you can, for example, forbid in the user interface guidelines add tools there, but it's only for settings. If you want to have tools, you do them somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's, I would call this kind of things, is it layout? Got the name of this book. Layout, paradigm,
layout
designs,
call it that.
Conceptual.
Yeah. Call it layout.
Layout, yeah.
Sounds so plain.
Very fun layout.
The same goes for toolbars, of course.
With the layout, we have decision to make on the
piece of pencils
input and length.
Just seeing if the pencil is running through the paper sheet on the wall.
Yeah.
Right, is it?
For some, you could, for example, make configurations sort of default. At the moment I didn't allow to have like the dragging stuff on the recent dividers. But in the end you should have something like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it should not complexify things, because if you want to, how do you make it available in a way that it doesn't get annoying?
think just allowing them to be moved is okay. That's all you need to do. You don't need to split new ones.
Grab this region and slide it to the left.
Yeah.
I think it should collapse.
Yeah.
It should collide with some kind of indication that it has been hidden, but
okay.
It could be like a little tap or I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
So it has a different. When you click on it, it comes back.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Yep.
But you also would like to have some. Either presets or simple method to say, no, I want to have it here, print it.
Mm-hmm.
But you should not get, I think, the freedom to say, I want to have the list view horizontal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you design the list view to be the list view,
that's
it.
Yeah.
The header is by default a couple of buttons and icons, like toolbar, and you keep the concept of having a header.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
With the main ground system is in a couple of standards.
Yeah.
But people who say, I want to have my own custom toolbar with a really big icon, the new icons, to do all kinds of custom things. Right?
Yeah.
But how do you manage the layout things? You say, well, you got two, three, four toolbars, vertical toolbars, horizontal toolbars.
Mm-hmm.
That also relates to the idea of what context are the tool settings in? Like, are they a global thing, so you can have one tool active for the whole of Blender, or are the tools for each space or
per file? If you have more than one file open per window.
No, but I mean one tool context, for example. So you use a tool in 3D view, and that's the
file load context. I have a button to save the file on the screen. And a button to import an object too.
Yeah.
Where do you leave those things?
I think that should be done before the file browser discussion session, because that's the principles of of everything.
Before we discussed the per editor review, my current opinion is not to make it too configurable. It should not be like the areas where you really can say, I want to have this functionality here. You get a couple of very good presets, but the designer of the editor defines that there is a channel view, a toolbar with a central blah blah.
You can flip those.
That's it.
Yep.
But you're not going to add
creating it from scratch.
No, because for the file browser I've added the UI area or region for the buttons there. So we have to define which are good, which are acceptable.
Well, quite obvious, And it works, that's also the good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's not much complicated decisions here on this level. Good. Which pencil, which pencil is the problem still?
Well, it's a tool, right?
I think grease pencil, should become more of a tool like most other tools. It shouldn't be separate.
But how do you mean? What is a tool like another tool?
Like an edit mode tool or any tool. It's just a tool with tool
properties. It's very much tied to the window system.
Yeah.
Areas. It is an area thing.
Yeah.
Stored in the areas.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
It's not like object level or bone or that kind of.
Yeah, but it's still a tool that edits data, and that data is attached to the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
interface data.
You can use it to connect it to objects too.
Yeah, I mean.
Then if you draw something.
The problem is that if you have data.
If you draw in one window, is it visible in the other window? Should it be?
Then you can have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 places where you can have voice pencil.
Yeah.
And that's getting a little bit complicated.
But then
what do you mean places where you can have grease pencil?
Because all the regions have their own views.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you want to, if you draw grease pencil here.
Oh, right.
And then you say, oh, I don't want to have four split. Then what? And then this has to be there?
I think it's very problematic.
Maybe it could just be per editor.
Because then you can't really append it anyway. And you can't open and say no UI, because then you lose everything.
Or
if you change screen, you lose everything.
You know what I mean? You can also look at about what is the most common use of these types of annotations.
What's the problem?
Well, it's tied to the view, so if, like, you're doing grease pencil in the animation screen, and then you change to the modeling screen, then you don't have any grease pencil anymore.
Well, obviously.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, it would be really weird if you
did. That's how it is
if
now.
If you did grease pencil in the 3D, you could change it to an outline, and you still have a grease pencil.
No. That's not what I'm saying. Like, for example, if you're in the animation screen, you've got a 3D view in the middle.
Ah, okay.
Then in the modeling, you've got a bigger 3D view.
Yeah.
Then if you switch to the other one, there's no more grease pencil in your 3D view. Because it's per view, not per...
Isn't it in 3D?
No. It's in the interface thing directly.
Is that how it is currently?
Yeah.
It can be either.
I'm not sure exactly
where the data is.
Explain that you defend the 3D view.
Can you try?
If you would make this pencil more 3D-based.
Yeah, but it's not just 3D, it's also in Node.
Yeah, if you make it editor-based, it's going to be more useful.
What if you just define it as per area and not the subdivision?
Per area type.
Isn't it more attached to the data somehow?
But
as a node editor, then you want it to be attached to the node material, not to the node space, or you have an image, you want it to be attached to the image.
Yeah, to the scene.
Oh, if he's talking about a node material.
Yeah.
If you're talking about a compositing node, then it's the scene,
yeah.
I suppose.
True.
Yeah.
If you draw in the 3D window, it's attached to the scene, is what you're saying.
But if you put the storage of it somewhere outside of the interface.
Yeah, that's the old.
And even when
point.
It acts as if it is an interface thing. For example, you make a grease pencil, but you have an object selected and you draw, and you select another object and it disappears and things like that. For example. But if you change the view, it can always just whatever 3D window you're looking at. But then that way you can have. Yeah, you could say, well, in that case, you select an object in a four-split view, and you can have top grease pencil draw, front grease pencil draw, and side grease pencil draw on the same object. But then the grease pencil system is not stored in the area.
Why does it have to be a property or an object though?
Yeah, I don't think putting it in objects is a good idea.
Why isn't it just a new type by itself, an object where you have some grease pencil strokes?
Yes, so that's what I was saying.
Yeah, but
there are
not always
planes define that in the 3D.
You don't always want them in the 3D view. You want them from a particular perspective,
panel.
Like from an animated camera
Boolean
or something like that.
Boolean vectors don't display properly in the operator panel.
Well, it's the problem.
And then it's just a plane from the camera.
It's the plane.
They display
the
properly in the RNA view.
But what if you're not looking through a camera then? What if you're just looking in the 3D view?
It doesn't label them X, Y, Z, even if
it's
a vector.
It's always looking
Yeah, it does.
Okay, grease pencil is a marked object.
That part I don't know how to fix. So I'll commit to what I have. That
a lot of things to say, like a node, you can make a little node, you collapse it in a group, and the node disappears. You open the group and you see the node again. You can do all kinds of those things. If you move the node can go with it. It's nice. You collapse the node goes away. Node goes away. For the object, you should be able to make a little node on a bone.
But you're not.
Of course,
So then
you don't always work that way.
No, so then grease pencil could be just an RNA property.
But you're not always attaching grease pencil to a particular object. It's more about the arrangement of objects.
Yeah. If you are, then it's at
the
scene level.
The window, like if you want to make notes for. No, also. But if you want to. You are sitting next to a director and you go over a shot and you want to make notes on it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But. If it would be attached to the camera, you would be much more helped, because if you zoom in out, it will go with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
For that particular case,
if it would be part of the window, and you make the window different, then the nose don't fit anymore.
Yes.
Yeah.
So connecting it to an object is logical.
For the 3D one, yes. But I guess for the node editor, connecting it to the scene or...
te zijn. Om te zoomen in en uit on the road. You want the stuff to stick there to translate.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It should move. If you collapse stuff, it should go away. If you go to other material nodes, composite nodes, you don't want to.
I'm just saying not attaching it to individual nodes or individual node groups.
Something. You have to attach it to data and not to the interface.
Yeah,
the node tree. Or the node tree.
Yeah, the tree itself.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, data, not UI.
Yeah.
But then the nodes will show up.
Because
now
it's strictly
area. Okay. So we have solved.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Yes, now we go to the other. Probably falling under some other mentioned categories where I'm actually setting for various editors. Should be presented. Ah, the empty thing.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah.
List cool ideas for streamlining and in workflow.
Really.
Oh, the tension driver. Wow.
So
cool.
What?
I invented it together with the first thing you have to do is make a really cool name.
It makes you more tense.
That's why you stop the marketing name, don't you?
It makes
you
more tense.
Yeah,
it makes you want you more tense.
Yeah.
Tense.
Tense means you're, like this.
Yeah.
Tense. Like a tension driver.
So cool. Tension driver. A tension driver is an automatic way, the easiest way to use drivers. Drivers are horrible to set up, because you have to map things that don't feel like having any relationship. What? Typically. It's difficult to map key positions and shape keys to, for example, the bone rotation. You have to set it up very carefully and try to get it done. Instead of evaluating the value, you could try to evaluate the tension.
What's the tension?
Tension is
a value.
Well,
it's a good way to say a magic world.
The simple case, of course, muscle bulks, right? Typically for bones, this is you should be able to find out almost automatically what your bone is supposed to do. So you see the range already.
Right. Yeah.
So the tension of the bone is a simple range. It's a default thing because you're not going to do anything else with the bone anyway.
Mirai did that like 10 years ago.
Good.
Yeah.
How do they call that?
I don't know what they called it.
Tension.
But it just automatically does the corrective shape keys for it.
Yeah.
You can try to find out those mappings.
So it's a way to say, when I have the arm here, I want it to be like this. You put it there, and you put it here, and you change it, and then it figures out the drivers automatically.
Yeah.
What is bone chain combing?
Maybe he wants to comb it like hair.
Yeah, so I can like think.
Like sculpting, sculpting bones.
Painting on it.
It's not really the biggest.
That's 2.5 target.
Bone part editing, bone part.
Combing the arm.
It's not a 2.5 target.
But the deform modifier or something?
No, no, he's talking about editing trajectories.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Do people know about the 2D transform widget? I've seen it in
the box thing in the graph editor. Yeah, I think that's.
If you select 2D stuff, it can draw a little box.
Yeah.
And it has a couple of connection widgets on it, so you can scale it or
manipulate.
The nice thing is it shows you very well the selection outline. How big
it is. The other thing is it might make it easy to do like things like ripple editing. Yeah.
Shears,
internal slides,
and you can offset all the CVs.
It'd be great for the UVs.
UVs.
Being able to grab corner points and do shears and stuff. And
Further tomorrow, if we go over all the editors, I mean the whole animation system, Animator has a couple of very complex issues. Because you can now animate everything, it doesn't make it easier. Like, you know that you can have NLA strips on every level in Blender, so you can have an NLA strips in materials.
Yeah, you can make anything in
selection. NLA materials, but you can also have NLA strips in the scene, which maps in the end the whole NLA stuff that's in the material too. It can go hierarchical, and I don't know that how it works, but it's not, yeah, because...
What do you mean by interlaced scripts? Do you mean actions, or do you mean strips? Because they're different.
How would it work?
You
can have NLA in materials, but the actions...
NLA?
In the material.
Well, the materials have its own NLA...
Strips, yeah.
No, strips or actions?
Every ID block,
yeah,
of 10 at the moment, have their own anonym data thing.
Yeah.
The anonym data thing can have an action.
Yeah.
NLA, drivers, modifiers.
But what is the NLA? Is it an entire sequence of NLAs?
The NLA is a sequence
of strips.
But action can be, I presume.
That's weird.
Like materials and animation.
Action editing.
Yeah, but it sounds a bit weird having it as part of a material. Wouldn't it?
Shouldn't it be the other way around?
But if you want to have an action on a material, why not an NLA? Anyway, he kept that as part of the design. It's a uniform system. So whatever, you can also animate anything going over the whole RNA paths. So you can say scene, object one, mesh, material five, texture slot two, whatever, node 20, you know. And if you want that.
Well, the thing everyone wants, of course, is to take any group of animation curves and make a clip out of it and put it in the NLA. That's what everyone wants to do.
But the NLA?
Yeah, with it.
That's what the NLA is for. It's like you have groups of animation data together.
The NLA is like the sequence editor. It's a global thing where it's just playing back all the
time. Putting NLA in. That's the point of it. Why?
Because it's bloody complicated otherwise.
Imagine you make a wonderful NLA edit, totally on one character. Right? It's quite normal, you do that. You have a character and you make a great NLA edit with walks and jumps and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
It is stored in the object.
Why?
Not in the scene, but
no.
At the moment it's also stored in the object.
At the moment it's in the scene, isn't it?
That would be very, very silly.
So that's clear, right?
No.
From a user perspective, it looks like it's in the scene.
It's not clear, because then you can do things on that object. The whole point of an NLA is that you have a whole strip, which can be animation on materials, bones, entities, whatever you want, and you put it together, make it into a clip, and then you can put it wherever you want. That's the whole
one strip or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what is in the strip?
An action.
One action.
Inside the strip is a whole long list of F-curves, animation curves, that's all it is.
Yeah.
But it's officially, every strip only has one action.
Right.
And an action can have everything that's under its own hierarchy.
Yes.
Okay. But an action can contain anything now, can't it? Now that everything's animatable.
So
anything under... Yeah.
Then the question is, where do you store this, and what do you do with all that kind of stuff then? What happens if you store the strips in material?
What?
The action, the strip is like an instance of an action, right?
Yeah. Maybe you want to have five different material actions blended and mixed and make that a material property of that specific material.
That's
all the uses of that material
it's
will
a
have
dependency
a
loop.
Wonderful, I mean, complicated
action. How can that be a property of the material if the material is a property of the action? How can the...
Can you have
that's
the
a loop in logic.
Inside another analysis? Is it like a recursive set?
But
it's
what
I
mean,
it's not the point. It's part of the design without the sure if you did an actual
material.
If you see it like that, it makes sense if you can make a bunch of
parallel
strips again into an action. Then that makes sense.
Yeah.
You
like meta strips and sequence editor.
Yeah.
Meta level stuff.
You can layer, also do layered animation. And then again.
And then layer those layers.
He didn't code anything on this yet, but it's interesting to look at.
But then it might get really strange if you've got like layers inside of layers and you're trying to mix them with other layers inside of... But
there's no way... mixing animations, I mean, doesn't have to be made more complicated than it really is. It's just a list of F-curves, and you put them in sequence and add them on top of each other and so on. No need to put that into...
People love to make things more
complicated. I mean,
I'm not an animator, so
that complicated the concept.
I have an informed opinion.
Yeah, but you know that animator hasn't used it.
No, because it doesn't really work like that. It's really bad.
Maybe it would be more highly used if it were simpler rather than more complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
I know,
it's very complicated to set up.
Powerful, accessible, or
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. What's the problem with animators?
There's lots of problems.
I think you're probably better off asking a room full of animators than a room full of programmers.
I can quickly tell you what's wrong with the NOA.
Probably the issue is that we don't have an actual level enough ways to glue things together in a sensible way, right?
There's the actual editor
I'm not,
itself.
I'm not saying
you
anymore.
You can't really have move things around and put them in sequence. You don't have one thing per strip. That's very simple. And then the way you toggle between working locally on that on certain actions, like you have certain animations you make into a clip and you mix them together. But what if you just want to go into that clip and change the animation for that clip? That's very, very confusing at the moment. There's a little secret button you have to control click in the top left corner, and it's very, very, very bad. And that needs to be made much easier. And then once you start to drag them around, you need to be able to, of course, make transitions between them and add layers on top. And right now it's based on actions, which is based on armatures, but that's all up in the air with 2.5, so that can be made much more general, which is much nicer, because you just say, the definition is much simpler now than it was before. You just say, well, a strip or an action, whatever you want to call it, is just a bunch of F curves. It can be any collection of F curves, and that's made into a strip, and you can organize and move around.
It's also right, but one of the issues was also that you had this weird separation between NLA and linked active action or something, which is always, if you know that. Activate or link an action to an object to be able to edit it. But you can also select it in the editor when it comes to the timing and stuff. Like it. But it's two different things. You can see it in the editor. It's very confusing to have those separate.
Well,
why would you not make it
instance.
One thing? But then it's the same now you can't.
Because then you can't scale it or anything.
But the nice thing of an action is that it has its own local time.
Yeah, exactly.
And you map it and squeeze it and edit it.
So you need to go into that action and edit it, and then you need to go out. It's like the sequence editor where you have meta strips and you go into that strip, and it's not that complicated really.
So
not conceptually.
Conceptually
it's quite simple.
For the time being, it has to be
But that's better. It's much better. That shouldn't be object level, because you should be able to
have
animations with multiple objects to move around. It's not a property of an object. Why would it be?
Also, you have groups, and you have instancing and layering. So
properties.
You have to make some kind of hierarchy for it. You cannot put everything on the scene level.
NLA is the top level, and then and then it goes down from there. NLA is not a property of an object or property of anything. Starts with the NLA, and then anything goes into that.
Oh man, that's deep.
Okay. I propose to quit. Some people are already sleeping. I think I'm very tired.
It
all
starts.
Right?
Andy says that F curves suck.
It is not the word.
I guess it's
have
a
fun.
Point to stop.
Whatever you guys do, I see you after the plenary in the bar. And we have fun on the expenses of the community. We have to write pictures. Thank you, community.
Yeah,
thank you, community pictures.
Yeah.
Holding bottles of champagne.
Hello, listeners.
Is anyone recording the stream?
I hope not.
I am recording, and it's also
yes. So if I had the vector boolean, then it'd be nice.
And we have the proof.
And you are interested in all the recordings.
It's in 15 minutes. In the Wintercamp channel, they already said it's in a half an hour.
Is that six?
Five. Yeah, six finish time.
It works now.
How is it possible?
Other groups are working too.
One call is not going to do anything instead of 1, 2, 3. Instead of
what?
I can still record 1,000.
Should be almost enough. 1,020 minutes. Is that enough for this entire night? It's not recording now?
Should be the same as yours.
Wow. No, it's not entirely the same. With you it says LUCAP, with me it says Bendacode.
You have can I borrow your headphone? Is it still on?
Yeah, it's, I have a headphone, but...
Oh, you have I have an earphone. Wait, I have it. Want to hear that you sound.
Ah, okay, well, I have sound over here. I have been recording since 4 o'clock. And I'll be recording also tomorrow and Friday.
Woohoo, they're talking about legalizing weed in Denmark.
Legalizing weed?
Yeah.
Weed mentioned.
And just at the moment you said that, there is DAP extrude.
Okay, what if I make an extra and I change value?
R. Martin needs dope extract. Skype is signing off for today. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock Dutch time, we continue again. Bye until then. And love to Chengdu. 0900 in the morning Dutch time. GMT. Oh, GMT plus one, sorry.